What do you want? Statement of purpose? Should I email you? Should I put this on your action item list?
Look.
You decide your own level of involvement.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
You are now listening to the Patriot Power Hour, the newest show of the Prepper Broadcasting Network. This live episode features the situational awareness you need to practice self-reliance and independence. Introducing your hosts, Ben, the Breaker of Banksters, and Future Dan, the editor of FutureDanger.com.
Patriot Power Hour live. In your house, in your ears, in your car, wherever. It's the season finale, June 22nd, 2021. Ben, the Breaker of Banksters here with my co-host, Future Dan. Season finale, man. It's just past the summer solstice, halfway mark of the year, etc., etc. And we got a lot to review retrospectively, but of course, we're always looking forward here on PPH.
Yeah, I think we got 45 shows in since last summer season finale, or thereabouts, when we hit 100 shows. So, good year's work, and it's the end of the spring and hitting full summer 2021. We'll take a break next week and then come back with a special. But tonight we got a special, too. We're going to go a little bit longer if need be, right, Ben?
Yep, we're going to be going a little bit further. It's only a single barrel shotgun. We're going to make sure that we bring as much as we can on Single Barrel Tuesday, Patriot Power Hour, Prepper Broadcasting Network. You know, I heard the Intrepid Commander's daily audio cache today. It was great. And I was actually, you know, he and I had that kind of mind meld, right? Even though it was not at the same time because he had already recorded the podcast. But I knew exactly where he was going, or at least I was going there, and he met me. And this is with respect to all the different ways to prepare food, whether it's the storable food, whether it's trying to become sustainable and have a garden and some agriculture, whether it's having that prepper pantry, just using that inventory rotation. And he was talking about all the different spigots of food preparation, always have as much as possible. And I was thinking, absolutely, that is true. And what kind of way I look at it, my prepper outlook is, of course, food's super important, but financially as well. And you always want those multiple spigots of income, right? And that's exactly where he finished the daily audio cache. So if you guys haven't listened to it yet, I just want to give a quick shout out. You always want to have redundancy. You want to have as many options available, whether that's for transportation, income, food sources, anything like that. Here on Patriot Power Hour, we focus more on kind of the news and the trends, but obviously our cohorts and our colleagues on the network are just crushing it with their work. So, yeah, man, it's just awesome to be part of this network with so much good advice and different people around.
Definitely, Ben. And diversify your news sources. They're constantly changing, too. Some get scarcer. You got to keep an eye on what outlets are putting out what information. It's not as static as one might think these days.
No, not at all. Not at all. It's the quickening. People have used that term for sure. It's just so much is changing so quickly, and the news cycle is so short. But at the same time, everything's kind of being concentrated, right, with the shadow banning and all the social media and the mainstream media collaboration. So it's a super interesting time. It's the most free, but also the most locked down. We try to break right through there, right, with Future Danger and just the whole network here, bringing 100% grassroots, 100% free. We do not get any payments from any DC think tanks or nonprofits here on PPH. So yeah, man, just excited. And it's been crazy, man. I can't believe we're on episode 145. And like you said, we hit 45 out of 52 weeks. Not bad, man. Not bad.
Yeah, yeah. Putting our time in to exercise free speech. Absolutely.
For sure, for sure. So, I mean, obviously, as per usual, the next 5 or 6 minutes, we're going to go to break and come out of that and hit the heat map real hard. Follow along, folks, futuredanger.com, to get through kind of the week's news. But one of the big things I wanted to do, and I like to do towards the season finales, is especially in the first part of the season finale, is that retrospective, right? And think about the last 3 months, or more like last half of a year, and some of the crazy stories. We'll certainly get into more specifics, but I'm just going to throw it to you. What has been the biggest story or two, either this season or just so far in 2021? What's really surprised you or just been so impactful that, you know, you were not expecting that? Say it was December 2020.
Yeah. You want me to go back to December? I think I could recap the spring season since March, since the equinox, really the growth of the evidence of what these vaccines are and how they affect people and the side effects and the pressure to get the vaccination, and that was inevitable. It's not like, you know, with great foresight last December, you couldn't have seen that coming by March, April, May, June, which is, you know, but that's really dominant. And, you know, just the news censorship and the, you know, dystopia newscape that we have, where, you know, vast sets of facts are not even discussed in different communities. I mean, that just continues to be the salient feature of this current environment.
I feel like many of the news articles that, especially those that rate very high in the danger, you know, in terms of danger, we'll see different ones pop up here and there, some of them more often than others. But in the few years that you, I guess coming up on nearly 4 years that you and I have done Patriot Power Hour together, the type of news that's almost always been at the forefront of the most dangerous and the most actualized of your indicators is the free speech abridged and the mainstream media propaganda, and, you know, also, of course, the lockdown by the Justice Department back, you know, a couple years back, and the whole dossier, that whole, and the mainstream media's complicity and all that. So that hasn't gone away by any means, but I agree. It's just something that's just continuing to build and build, and we've been seeing it throughout this our show, and I don't think it's going away anytime soon.
No, it's going to be new highs, right? So I'll make a prediction for the next summer season. By September, end of September, you know, it'll have been worse. It's a bold prediction.
What kind of limit is there to, you know, just the rational human, right? No, any human, right?
Anything's the limit now, because there's like about 30% of the country that have grasped many organs of state media. And once they decide this is what we're talking about and this is what we won't have, they stick with it and unblinkingly go forward in time, switch to another narrative, pivot, and go with that and never, ever look back in retrospect on them.
That's,
you know,
best.
We said this, yep. It was wrong. We said this was, they are done with, we said this, and we were wrong. They never admit that together anymore at all. So the sky's the limit. It has to be.
I'm really glad you brought that up, because that's something I've thought about, but I just haven't really come to the forefront of my mind. Just the fact that they never, ever go back in time and try to judge if what they said 6 months ago, 1 year ago, 5 years ago, did it actually work? And if not, how can we change future policy? That's totally gone now. If it's just, they don't even care. So you're right. That means the guard is down. The gates are down. So that next level of propaganda, et cetera, just keeps snowballing, huh?
Yeah. Again, it's, you know, it's just the voters aligned with the party in power right now. And they do it in unison. They do it as a power move. The narrative and the party and the narrative are in lockstep. And it seems to have power, right? That doesn't really resemble anything in Western politics in the last five centuries, but it does resemble how state media operates in foreign dictatorships. So we got that now.
It's really, I mean, it's been progressive, but I absolutely agree with this administration. And now that the media feels like they can get back on the front foot, and as well as their, you know, again, their social media tech companies that facilitate this, that's a big part of it as well. Don't forget them, of course, but in Hollywood, et cetera. But they're on. Go ahead.
It's about all you hear in conservative, conventional, you know, opposition talk radio is just, it's hours and hours of hosts just complaining about the fact that the other side ignores realities that with at their whim, and I'm kind of tired of listening to it because that's all it is for an hour. Yeah, we all see it now. They could just with blinders on head forward to any new reality they choose to convince themselves exists, and then make life outrageous for everybody else that doesn't adhere to that view.
I felt that way 10 years ago, so now it's just to a whole different level. But I try to not fall into that trap myself of just complaining and bitching about it. What do you think is the best way to deal with these type of folks? I mean, they're like a zombie army. You can't waste your ammo on them, figuratively, of course, from a political aspect. Right, I mean, we can't waste our energy on them if they don't even learn a lesson or engage in rational debate. What do we do?
Well, they might walk off cliffs here and there and expose themselves is what they are, right? Trouble of that is the cliffs that they walk us off could be massive security right. cliffs or massive financial cliffs or, you know, whatever it takes to wake up the middle populace, the whatever tens of percent that are in the middle and live and are related to these people and are browbeat into at least not objecting to their viewpoint, if not dragged to the polls on their behalf. You know, it might take a crisis to have that middle portion of America, you know, realign with reality, but that could be a bad fall.
Oh, for sure. And they're looking to solidify their gains, and that includes increasing the socialist welfare state. Just because you took unemployment doesn't mean you're a commie. But let me tell you what, they're trying to bring in that universal basic income and higher taxes all around, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Nothing's for free. Let me tell you what, guys, the music is running. We'll be right back. We're going to come back with the news blitz. Otherwise, go to prepperbroadcasting.com. Check out all the different shows. We'll be right back with that news blitz on Patriot Power Hour, the season finale. Be right back.
The ultimate in vehicular preparedness. Fire Edge. Universal mag carrier. Holds firearms, stun guns, flashlights, tourniquets, medical supplies right in your door pocket. When you need to fire, you want a Fire Edge. Visit fireedge.org. Use the promo code PBN. Save $7 off your order and get free shipping. Promo code PBN. All right? Visit fireedge.org today.
Achieve situational awareness of multiple threat indicators in one view. Be prepared. FutureDanger.com.
Patriot Power Hour is back on this June 22nd, 2021 episode, the season finale. We will be taking off next week, the 29th, but returning on July 6th for the start of our new season. I will say this, though, if anything really hits the fan, I may just have to check in and do a 15-20 minute soundbite, especially if it's financial. Anyway, we got a lot more coming at you. But first, let's hit the Future Danger News Blitz. As always, FutureDanger.com to follow along. Let's go from right to left. Four columns starting the right. That is the Nature and Health column. Starting off, Pfizer, Moderna jabs cause heart inflammation in some young men. This is a trending article. Inventor of mRNA technology states that vaccines cause lipid nanoparticles to accumulate in high concentration in the ovaries. CDC emergency meeting is supposed to discuss, quote, reports of myocarditis, swelling of the heart, in young people after COVID vaccines. Some vaccine experts having second thoughts about rushing to inoculate kids. Again, each of these headlines is an article you can go read, get more details. Death rate from variant COVID virus 6 times higher for the vaccinated compared to the unvaccinated. 4,000 women report period problems, menstrual problems after COVID jab. Moving on, also trending articles, but even of the higher threat level. These are the second highest threat level. Not playing around here. POTUS45 says COVID-19 resulted from an accidental lab leak. Wuhan lab found all genes needed to recreate the epidemic strain of coronavirus back in 2017. There's a Science News article detailing all of this. Former State Department investigator just comes out and says it. People are just coming out and say what folks were saying a while ago, but were conspiracy theory. Well, now folks like a former State Department investigator coming out saying that China already knows the origin of the pandemic. Of course they do. COVID-19 may cause loss of brain tissues, the actual virus itself. And moving on to some other items not COVID-related, still worth taking a look at. Of course, massive heat wave is gripping the West and Southwest, potentially even shutting down some hydroelectric power and causing other water irrigation issues in California. We'll explore that later. 50,000 dead fish found floating in Kansas City stream. Move on to the third column. Economics, well, second from the right, let's say that. So the second column we are reviewing today, rising food costs hitting restaurants hard after barely scraping by in the pandemic, some of them at least, massive inflation starting to hit them. How long can America keep borrowing? Good question. Longer than I have ever thought. So they're going to continue to hit new levels as far as we can see. Literally trillions and trillions of debt each year with no end in sight. We did have the Dow sparked a little bit by Jay Powell's speech or kind of their meeting and discussing the meetings last week. Dow fell 1.6%. Bounce back, essentially. We have seen Bitcoin get sideswiped in the past few days, but it's been extremely volatile, up and down. throughout. So we can get into that to some degree. But even Bitcoin, is, even though it's taken quite a wallop, is up big time in the, over the last year or two. Of course, real estate and every other asset class is at all-time highs. How long can that go? Well, I have a feeling that is about as long as America can keep borrowing, which was one of the previous articles. See how they connect. Let's move on. U.S. Navy challenges China by sailing guided missile destroyer through the Taiwan Strait. Russian fleet 35 miles off Hawaii practices sinking of an aircraft carrier. There's a video mob cheering as woman savagely beaten at New Jersey Juneteenth riot. Chinese defector possibly identified as top PRC counterintelligence official. So if you haven't heard quite yet, essentially one of the top equivalent of the CIA was a defector and leaked a bunch about all of COVID and the war crimes and all the stuff going on. We'll keep following that story, certainly. U.S. intel investigating Chinese spies return to the U.S. ahead of 2020 COVID travel ban. Another big article that totally makes sense in retrospect, but at the time maybe didn't think of. Why did they not shut down the border to China ASAP? Because all the spies could get back in time. We'll also be following that, and I absolutely want to hear what Future Dan has to say later on. Moving on, though, got to keep rolling. Got so many good articles. Let's first column. How asymptomatic COVID spread used to lock down the world was based on a lie. Bend the curve. I remember that specifically. That was just supposed to be a week or two. The WHO stealth edits a page warning against vaccinating children. This came out, I think, today. I saw this. It's like such double speak. WHO saying don't give kids vaccines after everyone already rushed out and gave their kids vaccines. Okay. MAGA branded, quote, white supremacy and leaked training for Iowa teachers. Straight out in the public schools, a president of the United States pretty much quit with KKK. No, not bashful at all. California city to mandate video recording of firearm purchases. Google accused of force installing COVID tracking app on phones. Speaking of which, this is kind of that liberty and news freedom column, and it is so jam-packed, all with high level, as I said, continues to just show up all over the place. Let's do a few more of these articles. NSA agrees to release records on FBI's warrantless searches of 16,000 Americans. IRS denies Christian nonprofit tax exemption because Bible teachings are affiliated with the Republican Party. It's the IRS doing that. As if we have enough problems with them already. Don't even get a political. 20 American cities doling out $500 a month per resident, universal basic income. On the other hand, a city in a state that I lived in for more than a decade, Indiana, is opting, along with about 20 other states, is opting out of these federal unemployment. So about half the states are all in with the welfare state. The other half are like, we have open jobs. We need people to get back to work. It's a face-off at the state level, too. Wow, what a matchup we got coming up. California unveils system to provide digital COVID-19 vaccine records. You know, just something basic like that, that if we had said a year ago, people would have called us crazy conspiracy theorists. Future Dan, let me bring it back on. I mean, we only got a few minutes till we go to break, but don't worry, we got more than 30 minutes on the other side to get into a lot of these articles and other stuff, but I'll give you the floor for the next few minutes. What you thinking?
Yeah, I think it speaks for itself. Not a lot. Absolutely new there. Just details of major trends that we've seen. And I don't know what the damage is going to be at the end from COVID-19, but there's going to be a different calculus. It's the damage done from vaccinations that were rushed. At best, they were rushed, with teenagers' hearts blowing up right now while the news just pivots to a new narrative weekly off of official sources. It's bizarre and frightening.
Right, and as you said in the first part of the show, when people have such a short attention span and such a disregard for logic and kind of like almost the empirical method, they can be just led astray and change the subject, or just be like, essentially, don't worry about what the data and science says. They're still the bad people, so they're still wrong. Don't worry about it. And then worry about this next thing, this next threat coming. It really is a lot of fear-based, I think, at that guttural level. You know, I've said this very quickly. COVID, just in talking about COVID. When we first learned about COVID, when it first was coming out, for a couple months there, I was concerned. I was quite concerned. I did think, you know, it could have a fatality rate that was bad enough to really, you know, maybe 3%, 5%, 10%. And I remember you and I had some shows where they weren't too sure. But once it got down right, that it was much lower than 1%, really 0.1%, unless you were very old or obese or both, comorbidities. I do recall saying on this show multiple times and just thinking in general, I'm much more worried about the financial ramifications and the medical. But really, I think the freedom and the psychological experiment that's been put on us is just as important as anything.
Yeah, I remember when 9/11 happened, the first thing I thought was our freedoms are going to get hammered permanently. This isn't new. It's always a step down, though, right? Yeah, I don't know how many more major steps down we can tolerate, but the people who tolerate this or don't pay attention to it, the best I could say is I don't respect them, right? You know, there needs to be a lot more people aware and you know, not conceding to this.
Yeah, so some of this stuff's not even close to being in the realm of reality. But anyway, you know, we are going to be going to break. As I said, though, this is the season finale. Therefore, we're going to go longer than our normal hour. No Next Generation this week, but we'll fill in some of that time, and they'll cover for us next week when we're off, I'm sure. Everyone out there, I hope you're having a nice summer. We will be back here with a little bit more in-depth analysis, whether you're at the beach or at work, hopefully not in traffic, listening to this. I salute you. And we'll be right back on the Patriot Power Hour.
Out to those that want to learn and practice independence and self-reliance. We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
Patriot Power Hour, launching into the second half or so of our June 22nd, 2021 episode season finale. Future Dan, we break our show into four seasons that roughly match the seasons. And since it's officially summer now, this is our season finale. I'm looking forward to some of the things. I'm not going to spoil it, but we are going to bust our butt and bring the heat in this next season and into the rest of 2021 here on Patriot Power Hour.
Yeah, try to put another 45 in. 45 after out of 52. Only 7 weeks off last year.
That is not bad at all. I think maybe one or two we had technical issues or something went wrong, and then we planned 4 off. So yeah. That's not a bad ratio. I mean, nothing's 100%. I mean, but we try our best for real.
Yeah, it's going to be good. And we were just talking in the break about the overall picture we get to see every Tuesday night when we do the dashboard as a whole. Just hearing it from someone else, even though, you know, I'm responsible for what's on there. You know, every article's vetted, but hearing it in its total from you is, you know, a real way to, you know, get a picture of your country for the week. I don't think anybody's hitting that many topics in a 15-minute period anywhere on radio or podcast or any media.
No, I really don't think so. And to be honest, it's more like 12 or 13 minutes. So I do my best not to, and I used to be really bad at this, and you helped coach me, we'll say, not pontificate on them, just hit the headlines. But that's kind of what the second half of the show is generally for. Some of the articles are kind of a deep dive, because really there are 20 articles at least on that heat map that I personally could speak about for 10 or 15 minutes. So like, it's such information overload. That's why sometimes I'm like, okay man, now where do you even want to go? So let me do that right now. Were there any other ones you wanted to hit on, or I got a couple I could just jump on and we can just cruise along? What you thinking?
Well, I want to just stay at the macro for a little bit. You know, okay. You talked about the quickening, right? The quickening of how, you know, terrible precedences follow each other in all domains that we talked about, you know, all the threat indicators. But you've also said previously, you know, it's a compacting of problems, like the federal debt. Every time one of these massive debt monetizations happens, it only compacts what has to give way some at some time. So quickening, compaction. Yeah, I think we're seeing on the heat map dashboard a compaction of so many indicators hitting all-time outrageous highs that, you know, the summer of 2021 got to be ready for crisis level things, I think, in the next 12 weeks.
For sure. It is kind of that crisis period, especially towards the end of the summer when they like to pull things. I think there are a few new articles that are new topics or at least brand new breaking, but the way you put
I want to get Bitcoin out of the way. Can we get what's happened with Bitcoin? Because there's a portion of our audience that follows this devoutly, and then there's another bigger part that, Bitcoin, it's a scam. I don't want to know more about it. But we have to talk about it because it's a sign of the weakness of the fiat currency system, which leads to financial threats, right? And this week it had a huge price move. What happened, Ben?
Let's get into a couple basics. First, El Salvador, a country, voted and made it legal for Bitcoin to be accepted as legal tender. So therefore, you can literally pay your taxes and require, through all the benefits of legal tender, which there's an immense amount. That's huge. I know it's just a little El Salvador. You know, El Salvador is a very small country, but guess what? They take in billions and billions from folks working overseas, mostly in America, right? And they send it back home, and they have to use Western Union to pay 5%, 10%. Well, with Bitcoin, they can pay less than 1% fee and send all that money back. But guess what? This is going to be just the first country to do that. Paraguay is looking to do that. And potentially even Mexico, to essentially make, by law, Bitcoin currency. So if that happens and more countries jump on that, we're going to see a big jump. But conversely, why we've seen that led to a big spike. But in the last, that was about a week ago. But in the last couple days, we've seen some what Bitcoin people call FUD, fear, uncertainty, and doubt. One of them is China is cracking down big time on Bitcoin miners. And I won't go into what a Bitcoin miner is, but think of them as the infrastructure that really powers the security. And they're throwing them out, giving them all types of issues. Some of them are, a lot of them are actually moving into Texas and other parts of America and Canada. But anyway, that disruption has really caused issues that has led to a collapse. At one point, Bitcoin was down about 25% in 2 days. But it has rallied back. Now it's only down maybe 15%. So there's a lot of stuff going on, but it's, you know, I think I want to segue this into the bubble of all time. And what's the difference between Bitcoin and the stock market? What's the difference between Bitcoin and many of the other markets? It's that it is a 24/7 transparent marketplace. There's only a certain amount of Bitcoin. You have absolute control over them and you exchange them. It's not like Wall Street where they print dollars. It's not where they can take $1 deposits and lend out 10 or with leverage 50 or $100. Bitcoin cannot be, literally in the computer code, cannot be used in that way. So whether you think Bitcoin's a fraud or a tulip bulb scam, or you think it's the greatest thing since gold, literally, you know, it's that digital gold or something in between, it's still a battlefield of ideas against the central banks and against all the debt and fraud spending. So it's really interesting to just watch the space, even if you'll never invest in it, even if you much rather put it into food and preps, I totally understand. But, you know, I also think it's a pretty good buying opportunity right now, potentially. So it's very interesting to me, of course.
You just used the term fraud spending. Did you mean that, or did you put a couple words together that it just came out as all the fraud spending? Have you used that term before? Because I'm not sure I've heard it.
I don't think I've used it before, or if so, just in passing. I haven't used it purposefully in that way. But fraud spending is a good term, isn't it?
It's perfect. It's perfect, because what it does is you're defrauding future generations, right?
Yep.
You're devaluating and indebting. The only reason our government can, contract debts is, on promise of tax receipts in the future pulled from an income tax, and that's future labor. Once Western democracies learn that they could deficit spend against their unborn great-grandchildren's labor, it's been a Pandora's box. We're, getting into, over 100 years of it. And this could be terminal. And the part that grates me is simpletons will call that the end of capitalism. Well, it's not capitalism doing that. It's deficit spending.
Oh, yeah, definitely not capitalism. And it's coming up, or I don't know, I think that it's this summer. I know it's in this year. 50 years off the gold standard since Nixon took us off the gold standard in 1971. And yeah, about, not exactly every 50 years, but thereabouts in modern Western civilization, there's a financial reset or realignment or just massive war that totally changes everything. And that's exactly what's needed right now by the banksters. I mean, they make a lot of money off this scheme, but at this point, it's so difficult for them to hold it together. And they saw what happened to Lehman Brothers and Bear Stearns. I'm sure people at JP Morgan, Citibank, and all the insurance companies know that their ass might get hung out to dry. And so they're a little scared, and they would love a full reset where they were able to take over all the assets and have a controlled implosion where the banksters end up on top. That's what they're really going to try to do. I just think it's going to be so hectic that everyone's going to lose control, and it's going to be, it's going to be a whole nother level.
Yeah, and all the other column 1, 2, and 4 indicators go, grade one hot, because it's a full-blown crisis everywhere else.
That's why I know I am biased towards the finest in economics, but I really feel it is a linchpin. Maybe not the linchpin, but a linchpin in terms of everything. And it, just using the future danger dashboard, let's use that as the example. It really is the linchpin. As you said, if everything falls apart, if ATMs close, if people can't get paid, if the stimulus finally doesn't happen, if hyperinflation blows up, oh my gosh. Like you said, every other column is going to be just explode absolutely.
Yeah, you know, like just in counterpoint, a hypersonic sea-skimming cruise missile that struck a Russian or U.S. or Chinese vessel could, you know, negate all of the financial worries, right? It would be an instant, you know, reset where we pass laws that say none of our debt with any of our enemies counts anymore, right? It's that, you know, there's other outs that are far more dangerous too.
Absolutely.
You might be wishing you had that, you know, controlled financial implosion vis-a-vis, you know, some other, you know, tragic 21st century event. You know, we got to keep an eye out for it. We got, you know, just be brave enough to think about the scenarios.
For sure. That's something I've been saying since 2008, is that the banks just took too much of a blame and too many people, including myself, woke up from all that fraud, you know, and they absolutely don't want to be the blame for the next crisis. So whether they have that much control or not, not sure, but they would much, you know, a war or some sort of terrorist attack that crashed the system and got them to reset their debt Ponzi would very much work in their favor. They'd be all about that for sure.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, you're really, really, really counting on our armed forces to make sure that something like that doesn't happen. Or if it does, we have the overmatching capability to de-escalate or win, right? Quickly is all you can hope for from there.
For sure. So, oh man. Well, you know what? I think we're going to be going to our next and final break and then finish off with a solid 20, 25 minutes of showtime. What do you say?
You had a string of articles you wanted to hit. You sure you want to go to a break? You want to just plow right through them?
Well, the music's rolling.
Okay. We're going to have to pause and rethink our. Yeah. Our lives.
Don't worry, we're going to hit once we're back, we're going to hit 20, 30 minutes straight to finish out the show. What do you say? What do you say? Get some coffee.
Let's do it.
All right, buddy. We'll be right back, folks. Patriot Power Hour.
The traditional media disguises and conceals the truth. Even when the truth is not being hidden, your attention is being misdirected. You're focused on some things to distract you from others. Future Danger assembles the key liberty, security, economic, and natural news of the day, sourcing from both mainstream and alternative media. What's more important to a prepper than knowledge? Achieve situational awareness of multiple threat indicators in one view. FutureDanger.com.
We are the Prepper Broadcasting Network.
Come on, man.
And with the local DBC news, LL Cool J with a triumphant comeback. For a solo record. But tonight,
don't call it a comeback.
Patriot Power Hour, and we're back for that final segment, an extended segment to celebrate the season finale. We will be again off next week, but we're here finishing it out, going a little bit into overtime, Future Dan. But real quick, let me make sure we get our final plug in. You got to become a member of the continuity. Simply put, there's way too much content up for grabs, and it helps the entire network out. Again, we do not, I don't get paid for this. Future Dan does not get paid for this. We do this out of the goodness of our heart and to get the freaking message out and try to rally the troops, right? But you can support this. This is not free. Just because we don't get paid for it doesn't mean it doesn't cost money. Luckily, the network is able to pay for all the infrastructure and whatnot, right? But that's because people like you that are listening sign up for $60 for a year of the continuity, or purchase Disaster Coffee or the Preparedness Manual or all the cool prepping related gear that's not, you know, a bunch of made in China, Walmart, Amazon crap. So, how about that for a plug, Future Dan? They should definitely check out the site. And I got to re-up my membership soon, too. And a lot of cool things. It really is worth checking out here on PrepperBroadcasting.com.
Don't forget the EMP Proof Podcast Archive Thumb Drives.
Yes. That was such a cool idea. And when it first came out, I was stoked. Forgot about them. I got to remember to get one of those, to be honest. I'm writing that down right now because it was on my to-do list. So if those are still available, I kind of keep all podcasts and all data archived on several backups, but making it actually EMP and very small and portable of not just my own content, but all these shows, all this great advice and all the expert guests that have been on PBN over the last several years. And actually, that is one of the most valuable resources. So I'm glad you brought that up, man.
Yeah, totally. I think in the summer season, the Patriot Power, we're going to try to pioneer some new topics in prepping, or at least expand on some that at least, you know, we haven't heard. But I certainly wouldn't try to say that I've listened to the entire archive of Prepper Broadcasting Network. Of course, James acquired the network after it had hundreds, if not thousands, of previous shows. So those EMP proof thumb drives with the Prepper Broadcasting Network can be they can be categorized, right? So James has them for sale in categories, or you can buy the entire set, focus on your needs, or gather it all. Just, you know, in the event you need it, that information would always be there as long as you hang on to that thumb drive.
It's really, really good. Not only do you have to not worry about hackers and people erasing it or catastrophic failure, but yeah, that EMP or solar flare. I mean, they were talking about a solar flare disrupted power. I believe it was in Australia, but maybe I'm misremembering. But recently, they were like, yeah, there was a massive solar activity that really disrupted things, didn't knock everything out. But imagine if one of those nasty solar flares came. I mean, we got enough problems from nature, let alone humanity. So, yeah, man, good stuff. Prepping pays off in a lot of ways. Now, I wanted to hit on a couple items here, and this is more focused on, again, that slow burn rather than brand new topics that are so important that we never heard of. But these Google Force installing the COVID tracking apps on the phones, as well as California City mandating the video recording of firearm purchases, that goes hand in hand with a lot of other, you know, news and mandates from that electronic surveillance grid. You know, I don't want to pry into your personal life. I know you try your best to avoid these apps and stuff. At some point, when is enough enough? And do you think there will be a pushback in the legal sense for invasion of privacy? Or, you know, I'm not a lawyer, but there's got to be a ways to really fight back and get a $100 million lawsuit, that a judgment against Google or something, right? So, like a watershed moment where they don't screw around with this anymore. Is that even possible in the current judicial system? I mean, what do you think?
No, things can be banned, right? And in Europe, you see legislation that attempts to control the media corporations, but essentially you're choosing to use their device. So, if you ever thought you had any privacy on it, is the only part you were mistaken about. Cell phones that, you know, burner phones that you could have and they'd be relatively anonymous. How many years has it been since that was even possible? You know, they stopped manufacturing phones where you can remove the battery, therefore it's always able to be turned on and tracked ever since then. And even if it, your battery shows no battery, I'm pretty sure there's reserve battery in there that can emit enough to give a position on that phone for a lot longer than you think, right? Not forever, but, you know, it's just the 1984 world that we've found ourselves in. And part of why I'm not entirely sure they'll be able to force COVID electronic vaccine records or other forms of coercion that we discussed in the second segment is that, you know, not everybody's going to continue to use phones. And then what? Like, what can people be legitimately banned from having access to? You would think departments of motor vehicles and other things like post offices aren't going to get to the point where you're just a pariah. You're like a non-person if you're not
right
on a phone. I don't, you know, I mean, that's what homeless is being like, right? So it could endure a little while where you're really, really, you know, segregated and biased against if you stand in the way of this, you know, grid constant surveillance. But can they force it on us? I don't know.
Well, I think a lot of it rests with that compacting that you're discussing earlier. You know, if you're a pariah for not being a vaccine, plus not having a phone, plus having cryptocurrency, plus owning firearms, plus exercising the First Amendment. I mean, by then, they've got you narrowed down and they're all after you. So it is kind of, yeah, maybe one or two of those, but I wanted to get a little bit deeper into this article as well, because some of that I was reading is just out of control. So this is the Massachusetts Department of Health on the Google Play Store, on the Android Store. They have two apps. One of them only has 1,000 installs, and it has no complaints about it being auto-installed or sending data without authorization. The other app has over 1 million installs and has an average rated of 1.1. Now, what this leads me to believe, especially after reading through more of this, which I won't go through exactly, only a few thousand people purposefully downloaded that. This is the Mass Notify COVID tracking app, okay? So a few thousand people downloaded it on purpose. They didn't give it bad reviews, but millions of people had it force installed and gave it and everyone gave it bad reviews. Guess what? The population of Massachusetts is not even as big as the number of people practically that get installed onto. I'm being a little bit facetious. Of course, Boston and Massachusetts is populated, but it looks like half the state downloaded this. Of course, it's because it was auto-installed, not because half of them actually tried to install it. And there's so many ramifications of this going on, and that's what they're trying to push here with potentially this lawsuit coming down the pike. Hasn't been filed yet, I don't believe, but they're looking to get some together, maybe.
Yeah, it's travesty. The home of revolutionary thought in our independence movement is now the beta testing grounds for globalist corporations that know, again, like I said in the top of the show, there's 30 to 40% of the people that got it auto-installed and are cheering it on.
Oh,
and
my
they're
gosh
actually pleased that another whatever percent of the people got it without asking for it because, well, it's the Department of Health and we love tyranny now, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's the problem. There's a populace among us who doesn't even, it's not that they tolerate it, it's that they're all for it.
Yes, that is absolutely, there are people that say these people need to be tracked because they won't take the vaccine and they're dangerous. So therefore, they need to be tracked. They need to be reported to the Gestapo. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't think the app does exactly that. It's not exactly that, but just putting
that's
any
the attitude. That's
government
the attitude.
App on a phone. Just a government app being added to your phone without your consent is at least there's some people that realize that's a bad, bad precedent.
Right, the start of the slippery slope. Exactly, the start of the slippery slope.
Yeah, I mean, just imagine if a Trump second administration CDC does that to their phones, right? It'll be mayhem.
Gosh. And then real quick, I want to hit on the related but separate, and then now it just, of course, changed off. There you go. San Jose, California. Largest city to mandate the videotaping of gun purchases. Again, is this end of the world by itself? No. Is this even unexpected in a place like San Jose, California? No. However, this is still, in my opinion, affront to your rights. I mean, it's pretty pathetic. I know a lot of people are moving out of California because they're tired of this, but this is just another step, and they're codifying this. And a lot of states out there are, you use California as a model, right? I feel like half the states use it as a model not to be like California, but a lot of them want to be just like California, or leading the way, man. Illinois and New York and several other very important states. So thankfully the founders, I guess, gave us kind of those internal firewalls, right? The states' rights. I'm hoping that plays out well here. But there's a lot of states that are getting crazy on the Second Amendment stuff as well. And now they're blending it with, you know, lack of privacy plus, you know, shutting you down. And I'm sure right after that, you're not going to be permitted to get one. So it just continues to march on.
As a condition of selling firearms in California, you have to consent to taping your customers, and then there's probably no barrier to the government searching those records at will. I mean, the amount of humanity that could care less about the basic ideas behind the Fourth Amendment are stunning. But again, it's a private business doing it, so you know they use that cover, and they've used it everywhere they could. Hey, for the rest of the show, though, you want to do some forward-looking, forward-thinking predictions?
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know, for our season premiere, we'll have the full preview of the upcoming. But I'm glad you brought that up. I did want to hit on some what do we think's coming down the pike in the second half.
So what do you think?
I've learned not to really make predictions. No, you know what mine is going to be? Not that the bonds will go down to 0%. However, I will say it will be down below 1.00%. And that's the 10-year treasury. The 10-year treasury will be below 1.00% by the end of the upcoming season. So that'll be what? End of September, early October. I expect a financial crisis between now and then. Not that it'll crash everything, but that they will have to lower rates again and push it down. I still think they have a couple more, you know, quantitative easing, bailout, all that stuff. But they're going to have to knock rates down even further. So let's put it in the sand, 1% or lower, 10-year treasury next season.
Yeah, I think you're going to see gasoline and corn prices easily carry most of this season in the near the top 25% of the all-time highs. And the Dow Jones might start getting some wild swings come late August.
Yep.
If in the background, whatever that repo situation was last week and the week before, it seems to have gone away, but I'm thinking something snapped in there. And the outcome of that is just carefully controlled narrative where the right parties don't get hurt before an effect is shown.
Well, there's just so many potential options, I guess. I want to move on to another prediction I have, and it a little bit more focused on maybe politics, which we don't talk too much about. I expect the current president, President 46, Biden, I'm not going to say that he's going to be removed from office by the end of the year, but I feel like, and most likely for medical purposes, I don't believe he's going to be finishing his term. I think he'll be taken out from, essentially step down because of dementia, et cetera. So I expect to see that really start to present itself. I feel like he continues to deteriorate in front of our eyes. And this summer, especially, we start getting some pressure and things start falling apart into the fall. Be on the lookout for that meltdown and the associated cover-up.
I don't know, Ben. They might just keep him there because it controls what kind of candidate could win the Republican primary. And once they've seen that person, they could switch the ticket around entirely, right? So there's a lot of people in that party that might want to take power away from Harris, too. It's
very true.
It is an interesting thing that we don't normally look at on Patriot Power Hour because these things are, they're within the design of the Constitution. Presidents that are older and incapacitated have, it's always a possibility when you have human beings as presidents.
Oh, for sure. I'm very surprised it doesn't happen more often. They have obviously great health care and very advanced technology helping them, I'm sure. And I wholeheartedly agree they're going to do their best to keep him in there for at least one term, right? And I'm not saying he will absolutely step down or be forced out, and certainly not in this next season. But I feel like we're going to see a couple extra – I mean, we already have enough gaffes and faux pas from Uncle Joe, but I mean – start to really get bad where they just unexplainable or just cannot be covered up. But most people won't care, I suppose, or maybe people will get up in arms and demand Kamala at some point. But, they're going to try to hold the line, but I think that's going to fracture the Democratic Party. And it's going to be all out chaos on all sides. That's really what I do see coming sooner than later politically.
I don't know because the resemblance now to how the Soviet Politburo operated in choosing its leaders and the American Democrat Party is uncanny. You saw the primaries where, it wasn't really even much of a primary season. COVID canceled all that. And they might just hold firm and try to internally select who's president after Biden is automatically nominated again in 2024, as long as he's alive. And they can get to the point where they don't even show him, right? I mean, the Soviets did it. Within last how many months of Brezhnev's life were CIA analysts in the United States trying to figure out when was he last seen? Right. That used to happen with really aged Soviet leaders. And it kind of looks like that now. I don't know.
That's a great point. Absolutely. Another prediction might as well throw at you. And this is, pretty obvious, but geez, it could get real extreme to something that's never been seen. And that's the, massive power outages in the West Coast or even in Texas. I mean, we could see the grid worse than just a day or two or rolling blackouts. I mean, more like serious damage to infrastructure because of collapsing grids that lead to weeks on end in certain areas with no electricity. That's something that's pretty damn near certain to happen at some point. So many people are unprepared for that. So power outages, I think, could be absolutely huge, as well as the water issues out west too, of course.
Well, people certainly survive without electricity before electricity. The amount of people that have no ability to now is the problem.
Yeah.
So if you're positioned at least skilled to, have fires and cook food that way and otherwise survive it's the societal chaos. electricity being out or not is not as much of a factor. Now, if it goes down badly enough, and critical infrastructure can't be supported. You know, all main you know, critical infrastructure usually has its own power supply, right? It's the rest of us in the hinterland that live, you know, only by what our refrigerator is able to hold, because what we bought in the last week, yeah, it could be a terrible, terrible event. That's possible every summer, though. It's not, you know, saying it could happen this summer, you might be right, and it'll sure have been a good prediction. Every May, you can almost say that about California every year, I'm trying to say. Other parts of the country, though, Texas grid this past winter going down because of the winter storm, that was quite unexpected. So an unexpected grid down, not in a highly indebted, you know, environmentally super controlling state like California, you know, can happen. And then wildfires are coming. Yep. They were bad last year. They ought to be bad again.
Yep, yep. And again, the water wars, you know, those have been well documented, upcoming and talked about ad nauseum. But if they have to stop irrigation in California, you think food prices are extreme now, the inflation of them. I mean, California does produce a great portion of our food and exports of food. They do actually produce something, and it is pretty high quality food. So if they don't have the water for that, which they're damn near out, well, guess what? That inflation is going to hit even harder. That compaction, that compounding is just going to continue. So, yeah, I can't predict when it's all going to fall apart. As I've said before, they're pretty good at kicking the can along, and I think they still have some more runway. But on the flip side, man, we really are at that time where a couple bad events come together at the wrong time, and we're looking at a crisis that is equal or worse than COVID-19 was, and that was a pretty damn bad crisis.
Yeah, it changes world history.
Yep.
Yeah. Exactly. At any moment, something that changes world history could happen. We're living in that kind of times, and speaking out against the abuses and, you know, unpreparedness. You know, the more the American nation is prepared to resist those bad times, the less likely they will be, you know, historically, you know, pivot points where, you know, at least for next generation, consensus goes in a direction that the rest of us are left standing behind saying, no, it's not really like that. It's kind of been happening to us in the last decade, but we're bound and determined now to have a voice before it hits, so that after it hits, we'll be the first ones in line saying, we saw this, and now why it didn't work is how we were describing it at the beginning.
Yep, and that's the difference between, quote, our side and their side, is that we will go back in time and say, this was right, this was wrong, let's try to evaluate some things, rather than just spouting off with emotion or literally lying and obfuscating. So I'm looking forward to doing that, and that's a little bit of a preview. That might be a way to finish off the night. We are going to be coming with some quotes and some best of moments and best trends that we've analyzed on Patriot Power Hour over the last few years, next season. So folks, you got to be on the lookout for that. We're going to have some cool new content. But, you know, we try to have some fun with this show. But on the flip side, it's very serious topics. So don't always be Debbie Downers, though. Future Dan, I do enjoy doing this show with you, and been a great season and great year so far, and looking forward to next time around as well.
Yeah, yeah, don't get down. Get ahead of it. That's what I'm trying to say. That's what Ben and I are trying to say every Tuesday night. I enjoyed it, too.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, man, anything else you wanted to hit on, or you want to get out of here?
Yeah, have a great week off while we freshen up the sounds on Patriot Power Hour. And like you said earlier, if SHFT occurs in the next 7 days, we're just going to cancel that break. Right, Ben?
Well, we have the ability to go live anywhere, anytime, if we have an internet connection. So, assuming we do have an internet connection, if stuff goes down, we'll be on the air, as well as all of our hosts on Prepper Broadcasting Network. So trust me, for better or worse, you're not going to have a lack of content on this channel, folks.
Yeah. Good show, Ben.
Good show, my man. All right, guys, ladies and gents. Another great episode in the bag. Episode 145 of Patriot Power Hour. And the end of the season. Again, we will be gone next week, but back in early July. And we'll be sticking to our Tuesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern. Can't wait. You guys all have a great 4th of July. Stay safe. Keep fighting the good fight. We'll talk to you soon.